Our gospel reading is Mark, the first chapter, beginning with the fourth verse. John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. People came from the whole Judean countryside. All the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sin. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, the leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart, the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." In our hearing, our speaking, our living, may God's... On any given Sunday, I know that we have in our midst those who are biblical scholars. We also have those who are very new to the Bible and just beginning to get to know it. And we have everybody in between. So I thought at the start of this year, I would give you my one-minute crash course in the Gospels. Those are the books where Jesus shows up. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John basically tell the same story with different flavors and emphases that were told for different audiences at somewhat different chronological distances from Jesus' earthly life. Each has its own character. In the Reformed churches like ours, we follow usually something called the lectionary, which is a three-year cycle of readings that helps us to be familiar with the whole Bible and the main stories, and it covers the four Gospels. So each of the 3 years, are you hanging in there with me so far? That each year is dedicated kind of to one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John is used to basically fill in the gaps and to add a different perspective at times. This year, we will mostly be in the Gospel according to Mark. It is the shortest of the Gospels. It is likely the first to have been written of the four. Matthew and Luke rely on Mark and at least one other source for their content. Mark's Gospel is marked by this great sense of urgency. Ready or not, the reign of God is coming and indeed is with us right now. The word immediately crops up a lot. Notice in Mark 2, there's no account of Jesus' birth. There is no manger, there's no star, no travelers from afar. He starts with Jesus' baptism by John in the River Jordan. All four Gospels tell of this moment in Jesus' life, beginning of his ministry. In Mark's version, Jesus goes down into the water, comes up dripping wet, looking upward. And what happens next in Mark only involves Jesus. It's private. Jesus sees the heavens not just open, but ripped open with a dove descending and the voice of God speaking to him. Jesus receives this intimate blessing, this confirmation of his identity, an incredibly important moment, a powerful one for him, one that he surely carried with him for the coming years of his ministry. He receives the ultimate affirmation. We love affirmations, don't we? In the South, we're kind of good at those backhanded ones. "I didn't expect you to get that job. Congratulations." I love how you don't care how you come across. Years ago, I had somebody say, "Oh, you're a woman minister. I hear they allow those things now." But a real affirmation is a blessing. It touches us somewhere deep, and we know when it's genuine. Many of us carry negative messages with us, sometimes from childhood, a playground, or school, or work settings later on, or just the larger societal messages that we swim in all the time. Paul and I recently saw the movie Lady Bird. It's gotten a lot of great reviews, and I have to confess, I don't get it. If you love that movie, please see me at coffee hour and tell me what you loved about it. I could not get past the mother who is so mean. She's got nothing ever positive to say to her teenage daughter. It was painful. We left really wishing we'd gone to see Star Wars. Every human being needs some kind of affirmation to thrive from infancy on. And our baptisms are fundamentally affirmations. We don't teach here that you're going to hell if you aren't baptized. And we don't believe that God has nothing to do with a baby until water is sprinkled and certain words are said. It is an affirmation, a visible sign of what's already happening in the life of that child or adult. It is pure grace. But of course, it runs deeper than just an affirmation. It certainly did for Jesus. It anchors us in our real identity. It reveals to us we're part of a much bigger story, the reign of God that is breaking in. Our baptism is always with us. In baptism, promises are made that weave our lives into the great tapestry of God's love for all creation. And if we choose to honor those promises that are made, then we are part of a whole community, an adopted family. It's one way that we welcome people into the life of the church. We commonly talk about belonging to a church. But as somebody said, you know, you belong to the Y. You belong to a musical group or a soccer team. You don't belong to a church. You are the church. Baptism empowers us to be the church. So I'm guessing that of all the things on your to-do list these days, remember my baptism isn't one of them. Perhaps it should be. In some circles, being baptized is called walking wet. Did you know that? That's what Jesus did. He emerges from the river dripping wet. There's no towels, no change of clothes, so he's walking wet. And so do we. What does it mean to walk wet? It means to be different, set apart. Not better, not holier, but marked. It means we're accountable one to another and to God. It means we answer to a higher law, a higher power. It means we're not alone. Walking wet means we belong to God and to one another, and therefore, as hard as it can be, we will not denigrate or defame those with whom we disagree. That we will seek understanding, common ground. We will strive to make peace. It also means we won't walk away from injustice or suffering, whether the suffering of a loved one or a stranger, a group of people or the creatures of the earth or the earth itself. Walking wet means walking forgiven, including forgiving ourselves. Walking wet means not just blending in, but standing out, sounding odd sometimes, and maybe even acting odd. Walking wet means we know who is God and who is not. It means on our worst days, we remember whose we are. And on our best days, we use that blessing to bless others. In the book a testament of hope. Martin Luther King is quoted as responding to the fire hoses Bull Connor turned on the peaceful civil rights demonstrators in Birmingham. King's response was this: there was a certain kind of fire no water could put out. We had known water. If we were Baptists or some other denomination, we'd been immersed. If we were Methodists and some others, we'd been sprinkled. But we knew water. So how will you live your baptism this year? Are you willing to walk wet? How will it inform your decisions, your attitude, your reactions to whatever happens, your response to anyone and anything that tries to tell you you are less than a child of God? As a church, we're walking wet. We're doing our best to live out our baptismal faith. We proclaim the good news of God's reign by feeding the hungry and caring for the sick, walking alongside the forgotten, those who've been told they are unwanted. We walk wet by offering a place of sanctuary. Martin Luther once said, "When you wash your face, remember your baptism." It's good advice. Jesus didn't do anything but show up that day. He hadn't performed any miracles or cured the sick or fed the 5,000. He just showed up. And so as we begin this year, I invite you to do nothing. Just receive this blessing, because it's meant for you. A blessing that reminds you you are loved, accepted, claimed as God's own. A blessing that reminds you of your truest identity that cannot be lost, stolen, or confiscated. That God is both with us and for us, walking alongside us, strengthening us within us, encouraging us. And so we're going to remember our baptisms today. You may or may not actually remember your baptism. It may have happened when you were an infant. It could have taken place along a riverside or an ocean or a lake, or maybe when you were a teenager or an adult. But whatever the circumstances, we reclaim our baptismal vows as central to our lives. We're going to join in the litany, and then I get to fling water at you. If you have not been baptized, I invite you also to take part in this, to claim the faith that is in you. And if you want to be baptized, talk to me after. We will work that out. If you do not consider yourself Christian, I invite you to participate as you feel you can to receive this blessing on your life as well. If you really can't deal with it, duck under the pew or go on to coffee hour. The water will dry, but we'll be walking wet. Invite you to join me in renewing our baptismal vows. Do you promise to continue to learn and grow in faith, in understanding, and in compassionate service? Do you renew your commitment to follow in the way of Jesus, to resist oppression and evil, to show love and justice, to be a vessel for God's hope in this world? Do you as a congregation reaffirm that God has called us into community? And do you recommit to continuing to create together a safe haven of welcome and love? Please join me. O God, we rejoice in your grace. We thank you that you claim us, that you wash us, strengthen us, and guide us. Grant to us all, we ask, strength for life's journey, courage in the time of suffering, the joy of faith, the freedom of love, the hope of new life in Christ. Help us all to have the grace. We ask God's blessing on this water. The waters of life may sustain us and feed us and nurture us, that we too might be a blessing. So I invite you to hear God's blessing, that you are a child of God, that you are beloved beyond measure. Hear our God, call your name, and say, you are my child, now and forever. May you carry this blessing with you. As we walk wet into this world, thirsting for a witness to the love of God. Amen.